Hello, this is Pastor Fred Brooks from Christ Family Church, located at 18506 Telegraph Road in Brownstown, Michigan. I want to thank you for downloading and listening to this message via podcast today, and I pray it'll be a source of blessing and encouragement to you. Christ Family is a Spirit-filled church full of people who are passionate about the things of God and who believe in the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. If we can ever be of service to you, or you would like more information about Christ Family, simply contact us through our website at christfamily.com. May the Lord bless you, and remember, you are always welcome at Christ Family.
So what we're going to talk about this morning, we are going to talk about how do I attain the goal of success. That's what we're talking about. Is this idea, because we all have this conception of what success is, what success isn't. And so that's the question I want to ask and answer today. And at the end, as we get towards the end, if I don't get back to that question, somebody's going to need to remind me of the question. How do I attain the goal of success? Where we're going to start is with 2 Corinthians. So if I could have, I got to tell you a personal story. So can I have that picture, the home picture? I want to show you a picture of a home here. Here's a picture of a home. You got to kind of see it there in the background there. There we go. There's the old homestead. That's where I grew up. That's a mobile home, which I always found to be a bit of an oxymoronic term. Mobile home. I'm not sure homes are mobile. And as you can see, it's we used to like to call it the mansion. I grew up with fairly humble beginnings. Now, by the way, the first part of my message here, the first part is going to be a little bit rocky. I'm just going to give you a little heads up. It's like, where is he going with this? So you got to sort of stick with me. In fact, if somebody's new here, just turn to the person, or even if they're not, tell them, it's going to get better. So just it's going to get better. So just stick with the guy for the first, just give the guy a break for the first few minutes, okay? It will get better, right? Because if nothing else, some of you are going to be, Lord help him. I mean, he needs prayer. So this is when I grew up. My mom was a bus driver. She never went to college. She graduated high school. My dad was a meat cutter. Or a butcher, and he never graduated from high school. When you've heard of double wide mobile homes, right? Yeah. We referred to people who lived in double wides as rich folk. Now the reason I mention this is that, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I went on to college, went on to a great college, got a bachelor's degree in political science, Calvin College. And I eventually went on and got my master's degree. And as many of you know, I went on and did doctoral work. I was fortunate enough to go on and do doctoral work and got a PhD. I got a great job. I really enjoy my job. I'm well compensated. You know, everybody would always like to earn more money, but I feel like I'm fairly compensated for what I do. I have a great wife, even though she thinks I'm getting up there in years. You know, she's sticking with me, right? She's not throwing me by the wayside, which is sort of nice. We have great kids. You know, I sort of have a great life, right? Life is good. I've got a lot to be thankful for. And I think of all the things that I've accomplished. I mean, think about that. From there, I mean, you can see I had a basketball hoop, right? That's the only place I played basketball because they wouldn't actually. I was so bad at basketball, they wouldn't even let me attend the high school games. That's how bad. No, you can't even come. You don't want you there. I look at that and I think of all the stuff that I've attained. And there are days, not a lot of days, but there are days when I feel like a complete failure. I feel like I have failed at life. I look around and I see people that have better cars than me. In fact, put up 2 Corinthians 10:12. That's going to be our touchstone scripture. They have better cars than me. They have nicer houses. They have huger bank accounts. And I compare myself to others and I think, where did I go wrong? what happened that they have, the person I graduated with in college is a partner at a major law firm in Grand Rapids, probably makes four or five times more money than I do. And I think about this stuff, and I failed. This last summer, one of the goals was to take my family on vacation. And we had a wonderful vacation. We went up to the Upper Peninsula, went to Mackinac Island, and if you've ever been up there, you know it's just wonderful. And I'm thinking, wow, I finally gave my family a nice vacation. We're on vacation, and I go on Facebook. Why I went on Facebook on vacation, I don't know. And I see my best friend is on vacation too. And where is he on vacation? On a 3-week tour of Italy. For we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. But when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. They are foolish. Right. Now here's the thing. As I compare myself, comparing ourselves to others is a natural thing. We all do it. I know I'm not alone there. I know you do it as well. Just a few weeks ago, and we do it on the silliest things. A few weeks ago, Pat handed out this sort of fake money, this paper money. I forget what it was, like bonus bucks or something like that. I forget what it was, right? And it had all different denominations on it, $1, $1,000, $10,000. Now, I don't want to show a hands here, but how many of you were here that Sunday, you got that fake money, and the first thing you did is you turned to see what the person next to you got, right? You got a $10,000 one. I'm like, why did you? One, and I only get $1,000. It was fake money. It was worthless. And my wife got the $10,000. You can tell I'm still a little bit bitter. God is working on me on this one. Of course, and what he's helped me work on is that I got to worry about my age. Now I'm not so much worried about the fake money anymore. We've moved on to something else to worry about. It's going to get better. Back there, it's going to get better. Just keep going. It's going to get better. It's easy to fall into that trap of comparing. And we've got sort of three responses to this that we can. By the way, what's the question we're looking at today? How do I attain the goal of success? That's the question. How do I attain the goal of success? And when we think about success, the first thing we do is we start comparing ourselves. Paul says it's foolish. Now, Paul in this passage, he's talking against some of his detractors because they were comparing him to others. And one of the things that they said about Paul is, look at him. Will you just look at him? He's in his letters, he's so bold in person. Are you kidding me? I mean, one of the pictures of Paul is that he was bow-legged. They actually say he was short for his weight. That's the description. He was short for his weight. He only had one eyebrow, both eyes, which is right across both eyes. And he says, you compare yourselves to others. You are doing it without understanding. You're being foolish. So one of the things we can do, one of the responses to comparing ourselves is that, well, we could stop comparing. That's an appropriate response, right? That's sort of one response we could do. Again, Paul says, don't let that world squeeze you into its mold. It's wanted to do that. Don't do that. That's one response. A second response, I've tried this one. I obviously haven't tried the first one. You know, I'm working on that, right? First response is find somebody that you compare yourself favorably to. Well, at least I'm better than that person. That's one response, another response. Maybe not the best of responses. A third response is you need a different perspective. You need to have God give you a different perspective. Because when you have a different perspective, think about this, you see things that literally you did not see before. It was there all the time, and you didn't see it. You just took a different perspective. We were on our way to church this morning, and I have this binder. I have my notes here. Sometimes I follow them. Sometimes I don't. But I have to have my binder. It's like my comfort blanket when I'm up here. And so we're on our way to church, and I said to Jana, is my binder back there? And she says, no, I don't see it. I said, well, we've got to go back home to get it because I need it. Now, I've got my notes on my iPad. If this happens to go down, I've got my laptop out there. I've got my notes there. And it's in the cloud. If I get somebody else's device, I could sign into the cloud. I don't need to have these to have access to my notes, but I need it. So we're heading back there. We're talking about perspective. That's where I'm going. You need a different perspective, because if you get a different perspective, you will see things that you didn't see before.
Right.
Nothing's changed. Everything's the same. But now you see it where it wasn't. So we're heading back, and John says, well, where is it? I said, it's one of three places. It can either be in the kitchen, in the living room, or I may have left it in our bedroom. It would be one of those three places. Literally, that's all it could be. So I walk in the house. First thing I do, I look in the living room. Not there. Go to the kitchen. It's not there. Go to the bedroom. It's not there. Now panic starts to, because I need my comfort blanket. You don't know how, understand how much I need this. I need my comfort blanket. Panic sets in. I'm like, those are the only places it could be. So I walk back out into the living room. Obviously, I'm coming into the living room from a different angle. I'm coming in from a different perspective. And I look, and there it is on the stand. It's right there on the stand. I had a different perspective. When I first walked in from one way, I didn't see it. I walk in from a different way, I did see it. How do we attain the goal of success? You need a different perspective. You need a different vision. You need a vision of who God is, what God has done, and what God wants to do in you and through you. That's the vision you need. That's the perspective you need. A vision of who God is. A vision of what God has done. And a vision of who God is. What God wants to do in you and through you. That's the perspective. And if we get that perspective, then we can answer the question, how do I attain the goal of success? That's the question we're asking. And the way to get at the question is a different perspective. You need a vision this morning. And I don't care where you are in your Christian life, you are at one of those places. You need, either right now, you need a vision of who God is. You cannot go any farther in your life. You cannot go any farther from this day until you get a vision of who God is. If that's all you get this morning, that's all you need.
Yes.
Once you get a vision of who God is, then you can go on to number two, what God has done. You have to get a realization of what God has done for you, what he's done for me. And once you understand what God has done, then you can understand what God wants to do in you and through you. Then we can come back and answer the question, in the goal of success. Okay, so vision number one, vision of who God is. The first thing we have to understand about God is that God loves us so much. His love is beyond comprehension. You know, we can think about the love that we have for our children. And as you know, after we had that prayer this morning, I'm thinking about our daughter, Sarah. And I'm thinking about our son Josh. When she left to go to Haiti, I said to her, I said, Sarah, you know that your dad, and she knows her mom would do the same thing. I'm not special here. John loves Sarah and Josh just as much as I do, maybe even more. We focus on dads, but moms are important too in this process. I said, no matter where you are on this earth, if you need me, you call me, you text me, you send a flare up in the air, you do whatever you need to get that message to me, and I will be there for you. I will take train, plane, or automobile, whatever, boat, whatever it takes to get to you, I will get there. Only thing, hot air balloon. I'm not on board with the hot air balloon. Right? Hot air balloons are, I've decided, there was one point in my life, I thought that would be cool. Now I think they're kind of creepy. I do. And here's the other thing about a hot air balloon. You don't get anywhere fast. You've been on a hot air balloon, right? You just sort of go up there and you're just like floating. And after about 5 minutes, you're like, hey, look at the people down there. 20 minutes later, aren't those the same people? We haven't moved. We are not going anywhere. And so after about 5 minutes, it's sort of a bend there, done that, like, okay, let's head back down. I'll just send a drone up, take a picture, let's move on. I would do anything for our kids. I would give anything for them. Now think about the love that God has for us that far surpasses that. Right? His love is incomprehensible. And his love for you is incomprehensible. So one of the things you need to grasp this morning is who God is. You need a vision of who God is. He is a God of love. In 2 Timothy, he's not only a God, a vision of God as love, he is a God who is faithful. So let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. Here's a trustworthy statement. In other words, this one you can take to the bank. This is something we know is true. Nobody's going to dispute this. If we died with, I want you to see the structure here. Right? Many people overlook structure or grammar or things like that because we, oh gosh, that's boring. No, it's not. It gives us insights into what the scripture is saying many times. If we die, it's saying, giving this, then this. It's a contrast that's going on here. If we died with him, we live with him. See the contrast? We die with him, we live with him. If we endure the things that we're going through in this life, endure the oppression, endure the bad stuff, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. I want you to see how it's being set up. It's a contrast. Do this, it's the opposite that's going to happen. But look at here's the kicker though. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He is faithful regardless of what we do, for he cannot deny himself. Think about that. Our God is a God who shows up and he stays. He doesn't just show up and say, hey, how you doing? What's going on? See you later. He's right there. He's right next to you. You need a vision of who God is. He is a faithful God. And if you're going through something, that's what you have to grab hold of. And here's the other thing. You have to grab hold of that wall. Look at this wall over here. I was looking at it this morning. Now, I think this was kind of a message to me. In fact, the whole message is a message to me. You're just getting to listening in this morning, quite honestly. That wall, as I was looking at it, God spoke to my heart. It said, you prayed about something, you give it over to God. And what you give over to God is on that side. Notice how the colors don't mix. There's a hard line there. It's compartmentalized. If you give it over to God, if you've prayed about something this morning, it's on that side. You need to live on that side. Don't take it back. Don't mix it. What you give over to God, let God take care of it. You need to be focused on what God wants you to do. Let him focus on what he needs to do. You need a vision of who God. How do we attain the goal of success? The first thing we need to do is we need to get a vision of who God is. A God of love and a God of faithfulness. He is faithful. That's what Jonah talked about this last Wednesday. Talked about the faithfulness of God and did a tremendous job with it. By the way, just as an aside, one thing I'm learning, my wife has spoke this last summer, my daughter spoke, and my son spoke. I used to think I was a pretty decent speaker. I realized I'm the fourth best speaker in my own household. they just did a tremendous job and are just a wonderful and a tremendous encouragement to me. Because I think at one point in my life, God looked down on his boy, you need some help, and gave me Jonah. We need a vision of who God is. Second thing we need a vision of what God has done. I used to have a car, a 2008 Cobalt. And one thing you know about when you're buying something, you never pay more than what it's worth. At least you shouldn't, right? And so I had this Cobalt. I was having some problems with it. It was a 4-speed that became a 3-speed one day. I don't know much about cars, but I'm thinking that's not good. And so I taken it to the shop, and the car had about 205,000 miles on it. So, you know, it lived its usefulness. And the repair guy said, look, I can fix it. It's going to cost about $600 just to fix the problems here. The repair may last a week. It may last 2 years. You really need a new transmission. I'm like, well, how much is that? Well, it could be about $2,000. I'm like, oh, okay. And he said, well, wait a second. There's something else I want to show you. You never want an auto repair guy to say, hey, there's something else I want to show you. I don't want to see it. Don't show it to me. If I don't see it, it doesn't exist. That's my mind. He says, we're looking at the engine, and really, you need a new engine. I can't get around a new engine. I'm like, okay, how much is it going to, it's going to cost? About $5,000. Yeah, that's what I said. Shh. And he said to me, I want to repair it. It's not worth it. You don't put money into something when it's not worth it. The cost or the price that you pay is never greater than what the thing is worth. Think about the price that was paid for your salvation. The price of God's only Son. That cost was infinite. And we focus on that, that the cost was infinite. But think about this. Let's flip that around. If God was willing to pay the infinite price, what does that say about your worth? He paid it for you. He paid it for me. He said it's worth it. You have to get a vision of what God has done. He paid the infinite price for your salvation. And think about this. He didn't do it so that I could have a cool car, a nice house, and a fully funded retirement account. That wasn't in his mind. Now, I'm not against you having a cool car, a nice house, and a fully funded retirement account. I'm not saying if you have all these things, you're not a Christian. What I'm saying, if that's what you're focused on, your focus is wrong. Rarely do I say things are right or wrong. I'm like, oh, it could be this, could be that. I'm telling you that's wrong if that's your focus. You've missed the point of salvation. The point of salvation is not what God can give me now that I'm saved. The point of salvation is what I can give back to God and what He wants to do in me and through me now that I'm saved. You need to get a vision of who God is. You need to get a vision of what God has done. Because then you can get a vision of what He wants to do in you and through you. Here's what He wants to do in you. He wants to transform you. He wants to make you into something different than you're not. By the way, what I'm going to tell you now is a silly story. It's not actually true, but I'm going to pretend it's true, so just bear with me. A few months ago, Powerhouse Gym came to me. He wanted to do an advertisement, right? In fact, Chris and I, we were going to be in it, right? There we go. It was going to be a nice before and after type thing, right? Before, after, right? And then we were all set to go with it, and then the attorneys, my brother's an attorney, he's a corporate attorney. By the way, he's the more successful one of the two of us, between myself and my brother. He's a successful attorney and actually very, very intelligent. He's the smart one of the family. I don't know how you guys got stuck with me, but you're stuck with me, so there you go. But anyway, it goes to the attorneys, and the attorneys, Chris, I just got word. They quashed the deal. There's something about truth in advertising, and we're not in the miracle business. I don't know what that was all about. I'm not quite sure that we can't really do this advertisement. I mean, there's only so much we can do, brother. I know somebody who is in the miracle business, though. Amen. Come on now. I know somebody who can transform you into what you need to be. Amen. Right? I know somebody who can come alongside you and you say, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I can't do it. That which I want to do, I don't do. That which I don't want to do, I do. That should sound familiar to you. That's Paul again. And Paul says, who can I turn to? Thanks be to our Lord Christ Jesus. Amen. Christ Jesus came to transform you. He wants to do something in you more than even you want him to do it himself. So let God transform you. And then he wants to work through you. Think about this. This blows my mind. It really does. That the God of the universe that made all that we have around us wants me to work with him. Amen. Huh? I mean, you think about that?
That is true.
That he has decided that in accomplishing his will and his purposes, that he's going to do it through you and through me, not in spite of us. See, many times we think that we're getting in the way of God. God's saying, no, I've chosen you. I've selected you to work with me. I'm going to accomplish this, not by myself, although I could. I'm going to accomplish it through you. How do you attain success? How do you attain the goal of success? We haven't even answered the question yet. We're getting there. But first thing I want you to see is you need to walk in the room, and you need to walk in the room from a different angle. You're coming in at the wrong angle. You need a different vision. You need a different perspective. You need a vision of who God is. You need a vision of what God has done. And you need a vision of what he can do in you and through you. That's the vision. That's the perspective that you need. Once you have perspective, now we can ask the question, how do you attain the goal of success? It's the wrong question. You and I were never called to be success. You and I were never called to achieve the goal of success. If that's what we're focusing on, we've missed it. A number of years ago, I was in a seminar. And the person leading the seminar went around and asked people what were their goals in life. And one of the people said, my goal is to win a Nobel Prize in whatever field they were in, political science, economics, or something like that. And it struck me, I'm thinking, nobody sets out as a goal to win the Nobel Prize. That's not the goal that they set. And so I looked it up, because that was just an intuitive thing on my part. I saw this interview, or read it more to the point, of somebody who won the Nobel Prize in chemistry a few years ago, and they interviewed this person. And he said, it was never a goal of mine to win the Nobel Prize in chemistry. Besides, a strategy to win one would be a fool's errand. And what he went on to say is this, is that as a researcher, what you do is you find something you're passionate about. You find something where you can make a difference, and you focus on that. You pursue your research with everything you have. That is your goal. Amen. Now, if these other things come alongside, that's fine, but those things were never the goal. What is your goal as a Christian? Your goal is not to achieve success. It never was. The goal is to live a life that is faithful as God is faithful, that is righteous, that is living in right relationship to other individuals, that does justice. Micah says it. He lays it out for us. He says, you know what you're supposed to do. God has shown you what you're supposed to do.
Yes.
To live justly, to love mercy. And you say, well, doesn't the Bible promise success? There it is. And to walk humbly with your God. That is what you're supposed to do. That is my goal. My goal is not to have stuff. My goal is not for you to say I'm successful. My goal is not even for me to say I'm successful. Because if we pursue success, if that's what you pursue, you will never achieve it. You will never achieve success if that's your pursuit. And I'll tell you why. A number of years ago, I saw this article or this cartoon, and it showed, it was like about four different panels. And the person said, you know, how much money are you making? You know, I'm making $35. Well, only if I'm making $45,000, everything would be fine. Next one, how much am I making? $55. Oh, if I was only making $10,000 more, I'd be fine. Next one, how much am I making? I'm making $75,000, but boy, if I was just making $100,000, I'd be fine. I can tell you the ideal amount of money income that everybody needs. I'm going to tell you the ideal amount. Just a little bit more. If you pursue success, you will always be pursuing it because it's just a little bit more. God did not call you to be successful. And you say, well, do you have any scripture to back that up? Joshua 1:8. Here's what God called Joshua. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Then, notice the then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. But it's going to be a godly prosperity. It's going to be a godly success. What you are to focus on, God said to Joshua, you are to focus on the law. You are to meditate on that. You are to find your passion. Amen. And your passion should be God. You pursue God. And success is a result. Success is not the goal. Success is the result of following God, of showing faithfulness, of showing righteousness, of showing mercy, of walking humbly before our God. So what I'm laying out for you, how do you attain the goal of success? I'm telling you, we reject the question. We don't accept the premise because we are not a people that are about success. We're a people about pursuing our passion for God. If you pursue your passion for God, He will give you the things that He knows you need. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So here's the answer. You need a vision. You need a new perspective. You need a vision of who God is. You need a vision of what God has done. And you need a vision of what God wants to do in you and then through you. And then you will have a prosperous and successful life. You'll have a family that loves me very much, that God has given and entrusted with me, to me. And here's the thing, you may say, well, I need help along the way. That's what the church is for. That's when the church is at its best. And we actually have programs on this. We have Elevation starting. This is the kickoff for Elevation. You say, I need help figuring out who God is. We can help you with that. I need help in figuring out what God has done in me. We can help you with that. I need help in how God wants to change me and what He wants to do in and through me. We can help with that as well. I'm going to close with prayer. Pat's going to come up and talk a little bit more about Elevation, I believe. Jesus, we thank you for this time this morning. We thank you for your presence here. We thank you that as we focus on you, these things of stuff just becomes unimportant to us, that we focus on perspective of you and what you want to do in us and through us and the things that you want to accomplish in our lives and through our lives to touch others. Continue to watch over us and be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.